Hey, hug somebody's neck and you can be seated this morning. How about just give the Lord a hand for our praise and worship team, man? We've been gone. Jennifer and I've been gone some, and so it's just it's always good to come home. Always good to hang out with your folks. And so, how about this? Hasn't Cole done a really great job the last 2 or 3 weeks? Y'all, come on and give him just a little bit of love. It's exciting to watch the Lord working and moving in him and his family's life and to see what God is doing. And so I've been really proud of Cole. A couple of months ago, I said, Cole, I'm going to take off some in July, and I want you to start praying. I want you to pick out the series. I want you to pray, and I want you to fast, and I want you to ask God, what do we need? What do we need as a body of believers? Not what does the congregation need, but what do we all need that would move the needle forward, that would draw us closer into a stronger relationship with the Lord and help us to shine our light out into a dark world. And so, you know, of all the topics that Cole could have come up with, of all the things that he could have preached about, the Lord put on his heart, we need to be people of prayer. How many of you know that's very admirable right there? How many of you know we could pray a little bit more and we could pray just a little bit harder? How many of you know there is power in prayer? Can I hear a good amen? So today I'm going to continue on in that series, and I'm going to read you one of my favorite stories about prayer. I can tell you that I read this story 26 years ago. I got hungry for the Lord, and I felt the Lord was calling me, and I started reading the Bible maybe for the first time in my adult life, just really reading it for myself. And I remember reading this story. The story is found in the book of Acts, and so it was the third sermon that I ever preached is the scripture that I'm going to use today. And I remember reading it for the first time and understanding that there really is power in prayer. That there really is, that when we pray, the Bible says God's ear is attentive unto our cry, and he is a God that rules and reigns. He is a God that is limitless. He is a God that can do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we can ask or think, and we have the privilege through the blood and the name of Jesus Christ to come boldly to the throne of God and ask God's help in our lives. That is something that we cannot take for granted, and we must remember the power of prayer. When I read this scripture, I actually understood prayer in a different way, because I was raised in a good family, in a good home. We were Christians. We went to church on Sunday, once in a while on Wednesday. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And I was taught to say my prayers at nighttime. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's the way I was raised. When I was raised, my mama put us in the bed, and we learned to say our prayers. But I was never really taught about persistent prayer. How many of you know there's a difference in saying your prayers when you lay your head on your pillow at night and becoming a person whose heart is postured towards prayer? And becoming a person who persistently prays. The old folk in the Pentecostal world, which, how many thank God we're still Pentecostal? Come on, somebody. We don't do it. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by the Spirit of God that we do what we do. And the old Pentecostal folk used to use this term, and they called it praying through. We prayed through until something happened. We prayed P-U-S-H, push. We prayed until something happened. We prayed all the time. Now, I got to be honest with you. When I first heard somebody talking about persistent prayer, I thought to myself, by God, I ain't got time to just pray all day long. That's what I thought. I thought persistent prayer meant you had to wake up in the morning and you had to forsake your job and all your responsibilities, and you just had to pray. You had to get in the closet, shut the door, pray, get on your knees, close your hands, close your eyes, pray like this, pray all day long. And I was like, ain't no way I can do that. Come on, somebody. But I begin to understand that persistent prayer is not just praying all the time. It's having a heart postured towards prayer. And that I can pray when I'm driving down the road in my pickup. That I can pray when I'm on a horse checking cattle in a wheat field. It's my heart. It flows out of me. And I just am constantly in communication with my Heavenly Father. We're going to read this story today, and we're going to see how some people, they prayed through. We're going to see how some people prayed earnestly. I'll read the scripture to you, and then we'll pray, and we'll unpack it. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, starting in verse number 1. You can turn there in your Bible, or you can scroll on your phone. It'll be on the screen as well. Note taker, write this down. You can read it tonight yourself. Acts chapter 12, starting in verse number 1. about that time, Herod, who was this wicked king, he laid violent hands on some of the people who belonged to the church. He actually killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of the unleavened bread. And when he had seized Peter, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Now, when Herod was about to bring him out, on the very night before, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shined in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up, saying, "Get up quickly." And when he got up, the chains fell off of his hands. And the angel said to him, "Dress yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out following the angel. He did not know what was being done by the angel, if it was real or not, but he thought he was seeing a vision. When they passed through the first and the second guard, they came to an iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent this angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, where they were praying, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark. They were gathered together praying. And when he knocked at the door of the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. She recognized Peter's voice, and in her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran back inside and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. All the people said, "You're out of your mind, girl." But she kept insisting that it was so, and they kept saying, "It must be Peter's angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door, they saw him, and they were amazed. Would you pray with me? Father, speak to us today. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Challenge us. Encourage us about prayer. Convict us of our prayer life. Lord, I pray that you would have your will and have your way. Anoint me to speak this message in a clear and relevant way so that people's hearts and minds can be changed about prayer. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in the beginning of this story, Herod was this wicked king, and he was persecuting the church. The church was being persecuted. And I want to just take a moment and say something to you about persecution. Can I tell you, as long as we are alive, we're going to struggle with persecution. We're going to struggle with trials. We're going to struggle with people not understanding our faith. We are going to walk through some tough times while we're living on this earth. Some people have believed the lie that once I accept Jesus, once I get washed in the blood of the Lamb and I am forgiven, we feel like everything is going to be a bed of roses as we walk down this journey of life. Can I tell you, nothing could be further from the truth than that right there. Can I tell you that maybe when you were living a mediocre life, and maybe when you were living for yourself, the enemy wasn't out to get you very much. But once you take a stand and say, "I'm going to live for the Lord and I'm going to reach every potential that God has for me," that is exactly when the enemy is going to try to come and persecute you and bring trials and bring struggles. Struggles and trials are nothing short of a tactic of the enemy to get you and I to quit our faith. To quit our faith, we've all been there if we're telling the truth. When things don't go our way and when things are not happening like we want them to happen, we just go, "You know what? I'm just going to go back to my old life. I'm trying this Christian thing, but it's just not working." Can I tell you, that is exactly what the enemy wants you and I to do, because even the enemy knows that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Even the enemy knows that you can't conquer anything by yourself, but you are more than a conqueror when Christ Jesus lives inside of you. The enemy tries to bring struggles and hard times so that we will quit. Does the enemy actually think we are really that weak in our faith? Come on, somebody. Does the enemy think we're actually that weak? So weak and so shallow that the moment things don't go our way, we just quit, we give up, we give in, we throw in the towel, or we return to our old life. Can I just tell you, for those of you that are in here today and you're thinking about returning to your old life and you're wanting to give up on this Christian faith and this Christian journey, can I tell you that us returning to our old life, the Bible says, is just like a dog returning to his own vomit. Let that sink in just a minute there. Who does the devil think we are? Who does the devil think you are? I may be nothing on my own, but I'm telling you, I really can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you know what we have to do? Can I tell you? Can I just encourage you? You need to make up in your mind, I ain't giving up. You need to make up in your mind, I am going to set my face like flint. You need to make up in your mind that I will lift up my eyes unto the hills to where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. You need to make up your mind and remind yourself that you are not some soft, weak, little, cushy church member. You are a member of the body of Christ, and you have been enlisted in the army of God, which makes you and I soldiers, and soldiers are willing to fight until the bitter end. We are soldiers. We're soldiers. Paul summed it up in such a great way when he was writing the letter to Timothy. The second letter of Timothy, chapter 2, verse 3 through 4, Paul said this: share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. We can't get caught up in this civilian that and who said this and what they responded to me on social media. We can't get caught up in all these civilian affairs. We have to know God enlisted me, and I'm not living my life to please anybody else. I'm living my life to please him, and if I die, I will die a soldier in the army of the Lord. God, not only he prepared us for this. That's why Paul again writes in Ephesians 6:13, take up the whole armor of God. Get your pretty little, prissy little three-piece suit and you tie with that Windsor knot and your ruck in your pocket square. Get all that pretty stuff off and put on the armor of God. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand firm. Stand firm. So Herod is persecuting the church and he arrests James, kills him with a sword, cuts his head off. And it pleased the Jews so much that Herod says, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to arrest Peter too. He takes Peter and puts Peter in prison. And make no mistake about it, Herod had full intentions of killing Peter too. He puts him in prison. He's guarded by four squads of people. He's got chains on his arms. But, how many know God's butt's bigger than your butt? Come on, somebody. But Acts chapter 12, verse number 5. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Peter's in prison, y'all. He's about to be murdered and about to be martyred. And his church family loved him enough to say, I'm not going to quit praying for Peter. How many of you can say, I am where I am today, and I'm still going, and I'm still living, and I'm still married, and I'm still a parent, and I'm still living, and I'm still breathing because somebody in my life loved me enough to call on the name of the Most High God and intercede on my behalf? The church was praying, earnest prayer. Persistent prayer. They were praying. What does that look like? Sometimes we get sideways and we say, I don't know how to pray. What does prayer look like? How do I pray? What do I pray? And here's what I actually think happened with that church. I think there were some groups of people in that house church. There were some groups together praying. How many know there's power in praying together? Praying with your spouse, praying with your children, praying with your friends, praying with the people that you work with. There's power. If two or three would agree on anything as touching it, it shall be done. I think there were some people praying in groups. I think in that house there were probably some people that were praying individually. How many of you know we need to pray individually as well? I think there were some people maybe had a prayer list. There were some people praying in English, some people praying in Aramaic, some people praying in tongues, as much as that weirds you out. I think there were some people praying out loud. I think there were some people kneeling down with their hands folded praying. I think there were some people praying with their hands lifted up. They were praying softly. They were praying in their mind. The fact of the matter is this, it doesn't matter how you pray as long as you pray. Because prayer works, and we have to quit. We have to quit looking down at other people because they don't pray the way we pray. It doesn't matter. It's you. It's the Lord. Pray how the Holy Spirit would lead you to pray. Which takes us to this point. Does prayer really work? I mean, people ask me, does prayer really work? And I would say that the answer is this, 1,000% yes, prayer works. Can I tell you where we've messed up in the church these days, where we bought the lie of the enemy? We have bought the lie of the enemy that prayer is just for you and I to get what we want, when we want, and how we want it. Because the minute that we pray and it doesn't work like we want it to work, or it doesn't work when we want it to work, we say, oh, well, God doesn't care about me, and God doesn't love me, and God doesn't pray. Can I tell you, prayer is not all about us getting what we want. I know we live in a world where it's all about me, and it's all about I, and what is this country going to give me, and what is this church going to give me. It's not about us. Prayer is about having communication with the very God that gave you and I life and sent his son to give us salvation. It's prayer works. Prayer changes things. You know what prayer does? Prayer humbles us. How many of you know the Bible says that God is close to the humble and God resists the proud? And when you and I pray, when an old, rough, tough cowboy, by God, who was taught he can pull himself up by his bootstraps and ride any horse and catch any cow, and you can handle it, you can make it on your own. When that old cowboy humbles himself and goes to God and says, Lord, I need your help. It shows this point of humility, and humility changes our heart and changes our mind. When we begin to pray, and when we begin to pray for others, like this situation, the church is praying for Peter. Can I tell you what that does? That takes the selfishness away from us, and it shows God and other people that we are living a selfless life, and we're praying for somebody else. That changes us when we pray. Prayer changes everything. Prayer gives us patience. Prayer, Cole's term, Cole's favorite term is always, don't get weak in the waiting. While you're praying and while you're waiting on God, when you say, I'm waiting on you, God, you're telling God that you have faith and that you are knowing that he is going to work and move in the future at some point, and we cannot get weak in the waiting while we're praying. Prayer causes us to have endurance. The church was praying for Peter. The church was praying for Peter, and the night before he was going to be murdered. How many of you know the Lord's timing is always perfect? And oftentimes he waits till the very last minute. Come on, somebody. The night before, Peter had, you know, and here's Peter. What's Peter doing? What is water walking Peter, the guy that walked on water? What is Peter, the one that preached on the day of Pentecost? What's Peter doing? He's asleep in the prison. And can I tell you something? If you read the stories in the Bible, you'll see that Peter had a bad habit of sleeping when he should be praying. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Watch this, because one time Jesus was about to be arrested. Jesus was still on the earth. Jesus was about to be arrested and falsely accused and ultimately murdered. And in Matthew 26, verse 40 through 41, Jesus said to the guy, sit here and pray a while. I'm going to go over and pray by myself. Watch what verse number 40 says of Matthew 26. And when Jesus came back to his disciples, he found them sleeping. And he said, Peter, you peckerwood. I don't know that he said that. I would have said that. Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Peter's in prison sleeping. But the church is praying for Peter. Can I tell you what that points to? The power of Christian community. The power of the body of Christ and the power of church. Church gets a bad rap, and I get church. I understand church is not perfect and church is messed up, and I understand sometimes it's too loud, and I understand sometimes it's too cold for some of you, too hot for the others. I understand sometimes that your coffee's cold and sometimes somebody doesn't speak to you, and I understand you get your little feelings hurt. But the same thing happened at the football game, but you went back to the same football game the next Friday night. Come on, somebody. There's power in church. Church is not just a place for us to come hear an amazing worship team. It's not just about a good building or a good-looking preacher. Church is our community. We are the body of Christ. We are family. We are adopted into the body. We have one Father. We are brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. And you know what? Thank God for the people that prayed for me and you when we were sleeping and we should have been praying. Thank God. People that love us and pray for us while we sleep and when we aren't being responsible. People that know that we're not even really trying and we're not even fighting, but they continue to pray for us as well. Can I tell you that when you walk away from the community of faith, when you walk away from a church, and how many of you know people leave church and they get away mad at church and this church and all that church, and they usually leave for stupid reasons anyway. When you walk away from church and faith community around Jesus, you walk away from a support group that will pray for you when you're sleeping. And you know what? I love you. People call me all the time and say, Cody, can you pray? Can you pray for this? Can you pray for that? People, I don't even know. They message you on social media. Pray for this. Pray for that. And I'll pray for anybody. But I'm going to tell you something. It's easy for me to forget on day number two when it's somebody that I don't really know and I don't have a relationship with. But when it's my bunch, when you're part of my community, when you're part of this body of Christ, you know what? I love you, and I've watched God work in you, and you know what? It's easy for me to remember to pray for you. Carolyn Martin is struggling. She's been sick for like the last 10 years. She's struggling, man. She had a wreck on the way to church this morning. She struggled. She had a heart procedure done. She had CAT scans done. She has more hell than most of us put together in the last 10 years, but she got up this Sunday morning, and she come to church, and she had a dadgum wreck on the way to church. But I love Carolyn Martin, and I've watched her crawl forward, and I've watched her fight. And you know what? It's easy for me to remember to pray for her. It's easy for me to remember to pray for Billy Schwartz's daughter, who is in the hospital right now, and the doctors say she ain't going to do no good, and it's all bad. But I love Billy, and Billy's prayed for me, and Billy has encouraged me. It's easy to look down here and see Cole and Marley and remember back when they were struggling. It's easy to pray for them and Connor. He just lost his dad a few weeks ago. It was easy for me to look and say, Connor is my family. Connor is my community. It's easy, and I'll pray harder, and I'll storm the gates of heaven to pray for somebody that's in my faith community. When you walk away from church, you walk away from that kind of support group and that kind of community. I'm going to ask you something right quick. Let me ask you another question. How many of you are thankful for the people that prayed for you when you were sleeping? Let me ask you another question. Who's sleeping right now that you know? Who's not living the life that they need to live? And maybe you're frustrated and aggravated at them right now, but you know what? They're sleeping, and you need to be lifting up their name to the throne of God right now. My nose is running. I'm crying like a little girl up here. My nose is running. The church is praying for Peter while he sleeps, and suddenly an angel appears in the prison. A light shines in like this, and you've got to love this. This has got to be, it's funny. The first thing the angel does is slap Peter on the side and say, wake up, dummy. What are you doing sleeping, Peter? Wake up. Shouldn't you be praying? He said, get up, get your clothes on. I have no idea why he didn't have no clothes on in the prison, but I'm glad I didn't see that. Get up, get your clothes on. And when Peter, the scripture says, when Peter stands up, the chains fell off. Can I tell you something? Action activates the miraculous. Action, your action and my action. You may not be able to do nothing else. You may not be able to go forward, but you can get up right where you are. You can muster up enough strength. And when Peter stood up, the chains fell off. Immediately, Peter thinks at this moment, I'm seeing a vision. This is some sort of dream. But the angel says, come on, Peter, let's go. Follow me. And Peter starts following the angel out. They go through the first ward and the second ward. And then there's this gate that's shut. And as they continue to walk by faith, the door opens up of its own accord. And they walk out. And Peter is a free man all of a sudden. Can I tell you something right now? There may be some of you in this room and you're walking down your journey and you see a door that is shut, or you see a gate. For you cowboys and farmers, there's a gate. Can I tell you something right quick? Here's what we do. When we see a shut door, we go, oh, well, guess this is far as God's going to take me. The door's shut. Can't go any further. Can I tell you that a door was placed where the door was placed, and a door was not made to stay shut. A door was to open up. And if it was not opportunity to go on the other side, they would have fenced it all the way across. So if you're walking on your journey and you've been praying and you believing, don't get discouraged if you see a door. Say, that door is put there and it's only an opportunity for God to open that door and take me on the other side of the fence where the grass is greener. Come on, somebody. Peter gets out and he realizes what's happening. He kind of comes to himself. He's like, wow, this is for real. And he's excited and he wants to share with his friends. And so he in Acts chapter 12, verse number 12 says, when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where they were gathered together praying. He was going to go tell everybody, look, I'm out. And this is funny too. Peter goes, knocks on the door, knock, knock, knock. And the servant girl, Rhoda, leaves the prayer meeting, runs to the front door, doesn't open it. Good thing, children, don't open the door if you don't know who's on the outside. Just saying. Peter says, it's me, Rhoda. Open the door and let me in. And she was so overjoyed. This is funny, too. She don't open the door. She runs back inside. Peter's standing out there knocking. And she runs back inside and she says, church. She says, Mom, Dad, friends, look. She goes, Peter's standing outside. And they said, you have lost your mind. Acts 12, 15. They say to her, you're out of your mind. But she kept insisting that it was so, and they kept saying, it must be Peter's angel. Meanwhile, Peter's still knocking on the door outside. Hey, let me in. Finally, they opened the door, and the people stood there amazed. Now, let's take a pause for a second, because I explained to you at the beginning of this sermon about all the different kinds of prayer. And how they all count and they're all good and how they all work. But here's the problem. We need to see this. Here's the problem with these people's prayers. They weren't praying, believing God to do what they were asking him to do. They were just praying. They were praying because somebody said, you know what? That's a good thing. It's a good thing to pray. And how many know it is a good thing to pray? They were praying out of duty. They were praying out of religion. They were praying because someone told them that's what they needed to do and what they should do. I just want to challenge all of you today. Do we really understand that when we pray in the name of Jesus, that we are calling on a wonder-working God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we can ask or think? When you pray, are you really believing God? When you pray, are you really having no doubt? When you pray, are you going, God, who can do anything, is about to move on my behalf? It's important. It's time for us to pray, not just out of routine, but believing in the power and the prayer of our all-powerful God. James 1:6 says this, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Colossians 4:2 says this, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Continue steadfastly in prayer. You know what I love about that verse? Being watchful in it with thanksgiving. How many of you were taught to pray? Bow your head and close your eyes. Come on, somebody. And at my house, when we prayed at meals and we said amen, Will would say, Jesse had his eyes open during the prayer. Like somehow it don't count if we open our eyes. I had another friend one time said, I don't understand. Why don't we look to hell and pray to heaven? Pray. Prayer works. But here's what I actually believe, according to Colossians 4:2, being watchful in prayer with thanksgiving. I think a man or woman are to pray with one eye open and one eye closed. praying, showing your reverence, praying, showing that you're honoring God, but watchful in my prayer. I got my other eye open because I'm not just praying to be praying. I got my one eye open because I'm watching and I'm believing at any moment God is about to move. God is about to raise the valley up. God is about to lower the mountain. God is about to dry up that cancer. I don't want to miss what God's doing. I am watching as I pray, waiting on my God to move. Matthew 21:22, and whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. We got to believe. Conrad, worship team, would y'all come help me close this? I'm challenging you with prayer today. I'm challenging you because prayer works and we could all pray more. Listen to me. Look at me. Look. It's not always going to work like we want it to work. I don't understand. I don't understand why Hadley struggles the way Hadley struggles. I don't understand why Connor's dad died. I don't understand it. I don't understand why Carolyn has so much hell. I don't understand it. But you know what? God's ways are higher than my ways. And I'm going to trust in the Lord, and I'm not going to lean in my own understanding, but all my ways acknowledge him and allow him to direct my path. Prayer is not us going to God, who is a big sugar daddy, who will give us whatever we want, whenever we want. But prayer changes the posture of my heart. Prayer changes the way that I think. Prayer brings humility. It teaches me patience, which teaches me endurance. And I know that God is good, and all things work together for good for those that love the Lord. And I'm going to keep praying, and I'm going to keep trusting. In God. Prayer changes everything. I'm just challenging you with this in closing. We're going to face some trials and we're going to face some persecution and we're going to face some struggles. Don't give up. Don't give in. It's what the enemy wants you to do. No matter where you are, what's going on in your life today, you keep praying. And you pray how the Spirit leads you. You pray, communicate with God the Father. Because God is able, and you never know, at the last minute, the night before you're going to be murdered, God might not move. Let me challenge you about one more thing. Y'all looking at me? Let me hear a good amen. Your community and your circle matters. Your community and your circle matters. A lot of y'all prayed for me a lot of times over the years. I prayed for a lot of you a lot over the years. Matters. It's the kind of support group that we need and that we have to have. Pray believing. Pray with passion. Pray with expectancy. Pray with one eye open and a heart full of faith. Because you never know what God might just decide to do in your life or in the life of those around you. I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet. We're going to close with a song of worship. Just ask the Lord to speak to you and challenging you in this moment. I'm going to be back up in a moment to challenge you with one more thing, but let's worship the Lord.